Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, for those who are joining us for the first time this evening, let me just mention that I'm doing a series, a topical series on the book of Proverbs. So though I will spend perhaps a couple days or a couple sessions in a particular topic, we're dealing with different topics throughout the book. We've discussed family relationships, finances, all kinds of things. We happen to be discussing friendship, and this is part two of our little series, mini-series, and what the book of Proverbs has to say in regard to friendship. Now, quickly, Proverbs 23, I like to start out these lessons by reading just several verses from the Proverbs and then going into our topical study. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. The Bible says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." I want you to notice something about this. Your right relationship with people begins in your heart. We're told not to envy sinners. Envy comes from the heart. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, where we get jealous of someone else. And particularly, there is an envy that comes sometimes for those that are bad, those that are not a wholesome individuals. In our day and time, unwholesome individuals are the ones that are being glorified. God says, "Do not be envious of sinners, but be in the fear of the Lord." Again, that is an attitude of heart. I can guard against envy of the sinful if my heart attitude is the fear of the Lord. Why is this important? Verse 18, "For surely there is an end." I wish everybody would live their life with that thought in the back of their mind. Surely there is an end. There will come a moment when I will breathe my last breath. There will come a moment when you will breathe your last breath. Surely there is an end. Fear God, live your life in the fear of God, because the end is certain. The Bible says in verse 18, "Thine expectation shall not be cut off." If you fear the Lord, you'll be greatly rewarded when the end comes. Verse 19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers." Pause with me for a moment. Scripture, what is a winebibber? Somebody who imbibes alcoholic beverages. The Bible is a teetotaling book. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but if you doubt me, get my two-message series on the Bible and beverage alcohol. The Bible is a teetotaling book. And God says not only are we not to drink. You say, "Preacher, where is that?" That's further on down verse 29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." Verse 31, "Look not on the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in its cup, when it move itself aright. Why? At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." God says you're not even supposed to look at it. Now back up to this verse, God not only says that you're not to imbibe alcoholic beverages, but verse 20, you're not to be among winebibbers. You're not to hang out with them. Why? Because there is an automatic influence that comes by our association. Now what I'm talking about tonight is the topic of friendship. And our friends will influence our behavior. In fact, our friends, the people that are our closest friends, I'm not talking about people that you have to associate because of a working relationship, or you're a guy across the cubicle from you in the office. Those people are not necessarily your friends. When I mean friends, I'm talking about people with whom you have a real close personal relationship. That being the case, those people will influence you. And may I say this? They are your mirror. You are like the people whom you make your friends. They are your mirror, so be very careful. Last week, I introduced you to three friends, and I will just cover their names quickly. We won't go back into it. But three friends that you should not have, according to the book of Proverbs. We talked about Good Time Charlie last week. We talked about Bitter Bart. Don't make friends with bitter people. It's awful. I avoid bitter, negative people. I do. Do you know why? I don't have time for that. Listen, let's just stop here for a second. deal with something, okay? You can either decide in life that you're going to be bitter and negative and criticize everything, or you can decide in life that you're going to fix problems that you see. I have determined to be a fixer. I'm not going to hang out with someone who's bitter and critical. Someone says, oh, I'm pretty sure. You know, I heard the door on the north lobby door. It was creaking. The hinge was creaking. What's wrong with this place? It's old. May I tell you something? How ridiculous to stand around and worry and declare, and it's bothering you that the hinge was creaking. Do you know what I would do? Before I would ever wander around saying, oh no, the hinge is creaking, I'd get me a can of WD-40 and I'd spray that bad boy down from the top to the bottom and fix it. Why? I don't want to be a critic. I don't want to be negative and bitter. I want to be a fixer. That's what we ought to be in life. Don't be critical and mean. Stay away from bitter Bart. Bad, bad news. By the way, when I wrote this lesson, I tried to pick names that do not exist in this church, okay? I do not know of a bitter Bart. Instable Mabel, we talked about her last week too. We won't go back into that. She's just up and down, and the Bible says don't meddle with people that are given to change. Instable Mabel, stay away from her. All right, you've got your lesson outline tonight. Let's look at that. Introduction. Solomon repeatedly warned young men about their associations. There are some people with whom a Christian should neither be friends nor partners. It is vital that believers be familiar with the types of people they should purposely avoid. Now, oh, Pastor, I thought as a Christian I needed to just be close to everybody and embrace everyone. No, no. In fact, to do so will damage your Christianity. There are people who have positioned themselves spiritually and attitude-wise that you as a Christian need to avoid so you do not become like them. Remember last week we said that one of the fundamental principles of friendship is this: as iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man the countenance of his friend. I am influenced and affected by the people with whom I run. I am either made more sharp by them, or the same element that can sharpen can also dullen. It can dullen me spiritually or cool me spiritually. That same element can do me hurt, and I should not fellowship with that. Who are some more friends that we should stay away from? Well, the fourth one I've listed here is Dishonest Daisy. Dishonest Daisy. Really, I was really digging for names, folks, to avoid names of people in this church. Dishonest Daisy. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 29, verse 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. Now listen, listen. If you run with the wrong crowd, you will do yourself damage. The Bible says, whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. Point A, it is always wrong to join in partnership with anyone who does not share your core values and beliefs. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. We need to emphasize this passage more than we do as Christian people. Someone said, oh, Pastor, we should just embrace everything that comes down the pike. That is not what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I want every eye on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. To be yoked with an unbeliever is to be placed in a situation where you are intrinsically connected to an unbeliever. Particularly, this is applicable in regard to marriage. When someone gets married, sometimes someone says, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm a Christian, but the guy I'm dating is not a Christian. We want to get married. You say, Preacher, what's your advice? No way, Jose. That's my advice. If you're a Christian, you do not marry a non-Christian. Does everyone understand that? It's better that way. Why? Because the Bible talks about it. Let's continue. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial or with the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be my God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, it means that I should not draw myself in close association with an individual who does not share my core values. Now, listen carefully. This means that there are some people with whom I would never enter a close business deal. There are some people that I would never join with in a business partnership. Why? They do not share my convictions, my belief, and it's always dangerous to unite that way. Look at point B. Partnership for the accomplishment of a wicked endeavor is particularly egregious. Whoso is partner of a thief? You've joined with a man who is dishonest. He's a thief. It's particularly bad. Why? Proverbs 11:21, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. I know of a young man who, in fact, rode my first church bus in North Carolina. I was 21 years old, pastoring my first church, and we started a bus ministry right away. And a young man, he was just a little boy at the time, probably stood about that high. He got on the bus and rode to Sunday school, and came on the bus and was active in that church in North Carolina. And through a series of events, he ended up moving to the state of Indiana. He actually lives in Marion County today. This little boy that rode my Sunday school bus, as just a little boy, he didn't ride very long, but just as a little boy rode my Sunday school bus, he lives in Marion County today. In fact, he lives in the Marion County jail today, in the prison, the jail, the downtown. Say, what for? For he'll be brought up on charges of murder. That's what it'll be brought up on. His defense is this: I didn't actually do it, I just happened to be there. Not much of a defense. Can I say this? Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. You line up with the wrong person. Pastor, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. How did he get there? By wicked associations. That's how he got there. Wicked associations. Let me urge you to be careful with that. Point C, partnership with dishonest individuals may influence one to participate in their dishonesty. Never underestimate the power of influence for good or for ill. Oh, but Pastor, if I'm around this wicked person, I can influence them for good. No, I'd be careful of that. I'd be really careful of that. You know, somebody said, well, Pastor, in Christian education, what Christian education did is it pulled all the Christians out of the public arena and we don't influence them anymore. No, my goal in my children receiving Christian education is so that the public arena does not influence my children. That is my goal. You see, because bad seems to have a more powerful influence sometime. Once my children are grounded, once they know the Word of God, once they've graduated from a good Christian college somewhere, they'll go out into this world. They'll be salt and light. But right now, I am shielding them from negative influences. And I think that's a vital concept that we need to have in our mind, the shielding from negative influence. Point D, our friendships have a spiritual element. Notice this. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth what? His own soul. There's a spiritual element. The soul is damaged by illicit association. What does the Bible mean by soul? The soul includes the mind, will, and emotions. When I run with the wrong crowd, it causes brain damage. The soul, that's speaking of the mind, will, and emotions, it causes brain damage, it influences my actions, and it will taint your emotions. Be careful who you run with, because it will affect you on the inside. It will affect your soul. Avoid dishonest Daisy. Number five. How about this? Foolish Ferdinand. Foolish Ferdinand. Go from the presence of a foolish man, Proverbs 14:7 says, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I should stay away from dishonest people, the thief, in Proverbs 29:24. In Proverbs 14:7, I am to stay away from the foolish man. I am to avoid him. It says, go from his presence. Point A, the Bible commands separation from certain types of people. It is not unchristian to avoid individuals who would waste one's time in foolish, morally questionable talk. Now remember what we said about the word fool in the book of Proverbs. The word fool in the book of Proverbs carries a moral connotation. In other words, there's not only is this guy just goofy, which is part of being a fool, is to be goofy, but he is goofy in an immoral sense. Perhaps his language or discussion crosses the line and is shaded and tainted by immorality. But when you perceive that, the Bible says you're to leave the presence of that person. Point B, separation and avoidance should not be obvious or self-righteous. You need not declare publicly your decision to remain at a distance from someone. Silence is golden. Now, Christian people, listen to this. Listen to this. You don't want to be influenced. But let me tell you something. You don't want to come across as some kind of self-righteous, pious, odd individual. If you are placed in the presence or have the choice of not being in the presence of an individual whose speech is morally questionable, who is a foolish person, then simply avoid that person, listen to me, without declaring that you're doing so. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me. Sometimes Christian people have, well, you know, I'm doing this and this is why I'm doing this and I'm going to let everybody know. You don't have to do that. Just obey the Bible and don't be offensive. You ever thought about that? Obey God's Word. I'll be honest, there are folks that I avoid, and they don't even know I avoid them. But I avoid them, because the Bible says there are certain classes of people to avoid. If I get around them, I'm just there for just a few seconds, then, boy, I'm somewhere else. You know, just as fast as my size 14s will carry me, I'm just gone. All right? Why? Because I can't waste my time in foolishness. It's dangerous. Point C. Obedience to this principle, Proverbs 14:7, it's a command of God, go from the presence of a foolish man. Obedience to this principle requires one to pass judgment on another. Did you see that? Wow. Pastor, am I really allowed to do that? Remember, in judging another, one is not condemning him eternally, but rather is discerning his character. I want everybody to look this way, please. The most misused verse in the entire Bible are the words, judge not lest ye be judged. That is the most misused verse in the Bible. You must judge righteous judgment every day. You do not have the right to condemn one to hell, because God is the ultimate judge of that. But you do have to discern between right and wrong. You have to discern between moral and immoral. In this command, you have to discern between the foolish man and the wise man. And there are some people in your mind that you're going to have to place them in the category of foolish. And once they're placed in that category, you go from their presence because it's a Bible command. But before you can ever go from their presence, you have to mentally place them in that category. And that means in that sense, you have passed judgment on them. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. It is legitimate to avoid someone based on the character qualities that are revealed through their life, that in a sense is judging, but it's not the wrong sort of judgment. It is simply looking at them and discerning their character. Look at point D. It is the speech or the lips of an individual that is the basis for discerning his character. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. When do you decide that a man is foolish? According to Proverbs 14:7, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now listen to this. His lips, that is his speech, is what gave him away. Please listen, church. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That is one of the greatest keys to discerning human character that is given in the Scripture. The things that come out of my mouth are a sampling of the abundance that is in my heart. Out of the abundance, what is filling my heart, what is in my heart in a big way, what dominates my heart, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is speaking. Your lips always betray you. Eventually, the one most careful in regard to concealing his heart through watching his speech will eventually give way. It is a guarantee. Why? James chapter 3, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You can't get it under control completely. And so what is in the heart in abundance will always come out of the lips in a sampling. This is why, by the way, when someone says something to me, now, I have trouble sometimes. By the way, don't hint at me. Don't hint. When we were first married, my wife would hint. Does anyone know what I mean by hinting? She wouldn't come right out and say it. She would, these little hints, you know? I don't get hints, okay? By the way, don't ever mouth words to me without volume coming out. You know, I can't read lips, and I don't get hints. I can't read lips. If you have something to say to me, number one, make sure you have my attention. I could be staring right at you and not listening to a word you're saying. Every woman in this room has experienced that out of her husband at some point. We're just men. We do that. We're very good at doing that. Make sure you have my attention, but now watch this. Here's what I try to do. When I am listening, I've learned that if somebody has something very small, it seems insignificant, and they bring it up, it comes out of their mouth, really it's a big deal in their heart. Do you know that will help us with our personal relationships? Someone says, you know, your spouse says, honey, you could, it'd be nice if once in a while you put the cap back on the toothpaste. It just would show consideration for me, the wife says. You know, pal, if you're wise, you really listen to that. Because, see, that toothpaste cap thing's a real big deal to her. It really is. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Does everybody see how that would work in life? If we listen more carefully, we'd understand each other better and know what was really in the heart. Well, foolish Ferdinand, we pass judgment on him, and I've listed some verses I don't have time to go into in Matthew chapter 12. You can look those up later, but we can pass discerning judgment on him based upon what comes out of his mouth. Then we have immoral Isabel. I had Ferdinand, so I had to have, it should have been Isabella, but point number six, immoral Isabel. Who is she? Proverbs 29, verse 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now, let me say this. None of us should be close friends with immoral individuals. I understand Proverbs 29:3 is warning the man against keeping company or close association with harlots. And someone says, oh, well, pastor, that's not, that's not really practical today. I mean, most men aren't going to walk down the street somewhere and try to find a harlot. Where you're talking to Christian people. I understand that, but you know what? Listen to me. I want every eye up here. Don't read your paper. Don't get ahead of me. I want every eye up here. We're living in a day and time when the harlots are not just on the street corner. They're everywhere. What are you talking about? I'm talking about loose, immoral people, whether it be men or women. Our culture, our society is saturated with these people. Look at point A. Wise children receive instruction and warnings from their parents, according to this verse. In acting upon that instruction, their lives prosper, and that whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Why? Because his life has prospered. He becomes the pride of his parents. He brings them happiness. Why? They're following the ways of wisdom, the ways of God. But point B, the foolish engage in immorality and waste their sources on sensuality. Those who associate with the immoral will engage in immorality, always a costly pursuit. Oh, I don't have time to develop this. I wish I did. Immorality has wasted billions of dollars on a yearly basis. Billions of dollars. Oh, you know, what is the cost of such and such a disease? Or they do these funny studies. What is the daylight savings time? Somebody said if we had daylight savings time, our economy would boom. How do you figure? Just frustrates morning people as all, because it's so dark in the morning. How do you figure? They do these studies. The cost of immorality is staggering. Have you ever considered what it costs just to deal with the legal issues that are eventually associated with immorality? The issues of custody and illegitimate children? Have you ever thought about that? It's staggering. No one has the courage, I'm sure, to do a study of that. Note that a woman who is morally loose may always be classed as a harlot. I want you to think with me for a moment about this. Every woman who is morally loose is a harlot. Why? When a woman gives herself sexually to anyone except her husband, she is doing so for some benefit. A harlot sells her body for money. When a woman gives herself sexually to anyone but her husband, she is doing so for some benefit, whether it's emotional satisfaction, maybe financial gain, because now she's with not her husband, but he's taking care of her financially. Maybe it's to maintain a relationship, because she's, I cannot live without a relationship, and he won't continue the relationship unless I satisfy him sexually. Any woman who engages in sexual immorality is doing so for some benefit for herself, and in that she is a harlot. Whoa. Have you ever thought of it that way? Now, I know she's not standing on a street corner and saying, you know, it has a price list. I understand that. But she's doing the same thing. There is no difference. She is selling herself physically. Why would a woman sell herself physically to give herself physically to a man, not her husband? Because she feels obligated to, because he's going to give her something. Whether it's emotional security, a relationship, financial security. Is everybody following me on this? I wish our society understood this. I wish every woman understood this. I've told our teenage girls in this church, if the guy will not put a ring on your finger and walk you down an aisle and commit to you to life, you should never give yourself to him physically. Never. And by the way, if he can't wait, he ain't worth it. Now, these are strong words, but you follow me. There's no difference between a woman selling herself on a street corner and a woman who sells herself sometimes even more cheaply in order to gain a relationship or supposed emotional satisfaction or some kind of security. It is all one and the same thing. It is for sale. Being loose is essentially being a harlot, and she would sell herself cheaply. So avoid immoral Isabel. Stay away from her. Now, what does this mean? Gentlemen, can I tell you what this means? The gal at the office who has a reputation, steer clear of her. Steer clear of her. By the way, make it clear that you're enough of a Christian that you're going to not have anything to do with her. Don't flirt with her. You don't have to be rude, but you don't have to be friendly. Do you know that there's a way to shut people down? I did that today. I bought, I don't know what the deal is with this Walmart down here. They always seem to have the better price on gas, so I filled up the old gas hog down at Walmart today. And every time you walk in there and buy something, that lady behind the counter, she always says, do you want to buy a lottery ticket? She's always trying to sell lottery tickets. And so I told her today, very politely, I said, ma'am, I said, I never buy those things. I said, the lottery is a tax on people who are not good at math. Just totally that. There are other people standing there rubbing off their tickets. I just, you know, sort of just laid it right out. She kind of smiled and she laughed and could hardly wait till I left. And I don't know if she recognizes me again. She may never offer that again. Now, here's what I'm saying. You can be firm about this, but avoid the immoral. And then quickly, boy, I was running out of names here. Point seven, sinful Sylvester. Where do we read about sinful Sylvester? Proverbs 24, verses 1 and 2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Boy, this is good. This is good. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Don't even desire to be with them, let alone being around them. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. That's Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15, kind of shortened there a little bit. What does it mean? I'm to avoid this guy. He's not to be my friend. Point B, or that should be point A, but the thing messed up. Just change it if you want. Beware of envying evil men. Our society glorifies men that God's word condemns. Be not, or do not become enamored with celebrities. Trouble starts in the heart. I talked about that to begin with, didn't I? You know what happens? Can I tell you what happens? Our kids watch, or they see a billboard. Our young people see a billboard. I don't know if they even have these billboards anymore. They used to. Remember, how many remember the Marlboro Man? Remember him? Marlboro Man. Boy, he was tough. He's a big old guy, had a big old horse, had a big old Stetson hat, had a big old belt buckle, size of his head, big old belt buckle. I mean, he was tough. He was out west. He had the rope, and he was the Marlboro Man, and he had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he was tough. Why do advertisers picture it that way? To get you to smoke. To get you envious. Oh, if I smoke Marlboros, I'll look like the Marlboro Man. To get you envious of something. Do you see this? That's what they try to do. All of our advertising is to make us envious of something. And so they try to make us envious. They don't show the Marlboro man 10 years later when he's got oxygen coming into his nose and he's got emphysema. They don't show that. They show the thing to make us envious. The Bible says, don't be envious against evil men. It always begins in the heart. I'm not enamored by celebrities. I'm not impressed by them. By the way, be careful of who you allow your children to look at as heroes. And what posters they have in their rooms. Where, I wouldn't put the posters of any Hollywood character up in the room. And no popular entertainer up in the room. Why? They're all a bad lot. Years ago, I'll never forget the stir that came when I preached against Britney Spears and said, Britney Spears is a bad lot. She's just bad news. She's trashy. And I remember years ago, and I had these little teeny bopper girls coming, oh, Pastor Monty, Britney Spears is a Southern Baptist. She's a good Christian. You don't dress like a harlot and call yourself a good Christian.
That's right.
She's not a good Christian. Not a good Christian. Not according to the standards of that book. I have no problem saying this. I'm not enamored by celebrity. The Bible teaches us not to envy the wicked. Keep that away from your young people. Why? The trouble starts in the heart. The next one down. Do not desire association with the wicked. No matter how appealing it may be, remember the devil's crowd is always the in crowd. Not only should you avoid the wicked, but your heart should not desire association with them. I'm not part of the in crowd. Oh, Pastor Monty, you're just not on the cutting edge of the cutting edge of cool in society. I'm not. And I never will be. Because those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are always pushed to the outskirts of society. Be that as it may, that's fine. We don't need to be part of the in crowd. Next one down. Guarding the desires of the heart means controlling the content upon which your mind and spirit feed. Psalm 37, I don't have time to go there tonight, explains the steps of God's giving us the desires of our hearts. God should give us our desires, not the things we want, but change our wanter. God can do that if we yield to Him and avoid sinful Sylvester. And then, last point, in Proverbs 1, Solomon warns particularly about the propensity of young men to affiliate with the wicked for the promise of financial gain. Be very careful about whom you partner with in business. If a man has a wicked heart, it will be revealed in business practices. Now, let me just say this because I'm done with this whole section here. Honestly, folk, and you're never to be unkind to anybody. You listen to me. Never to be unkind. Sometimes you have to be firm. Sometimes you have to be clear and direct, and sometimes in our culture people take that as unkind. You're never to be rude or unkind to anybody, but you know there are some people that you cannot, as a Christian, be close friends to? There just are. There are some people that God forbids you from being close friends. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to be his best buddy so that I can win him. See, what always happens is the friendship goes beyond the winning. If you're going to win him, you confront him with the gospel and see him get saved, and then there can be the closeness. Do you know that I cannot have a closeness, a heart-to-heart closeness, with someone that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So why, preacher? That fellowship's not there. There's nothing in common. Okay, we share the same hobby, but that hobby is temporal. And I think, oh, it's all going to one day burn, and this man needs Christ. If you take somebody who knows Christ in their heart, and there's almost an instant fellowship. How many of you got to meet or have any close contact with the happy Irishman, the convert from Ireland? Did some of you at the mission convert? Boy, I sure did. This guy is from Ireland. I mean, their culture is quite different from ours. Everything's a little different from ours. But you know what? He knows Christ as Savior. And there was an immediate bond because of Christian fellowship. I'm saying this tonight. Avoid the wrong kind of friends. They will mess up your life. And get the best kind of friends, godly Christian friends. As I said last week, friends that can improve you in some area. And watch what the Lord will do. When you avoid some, it's not out of meanness, but it's out of a preservation of your testimony to be more effective for Jesus Christ. I challenge you. Make sure you have the right friends. We'll talk more about more general principles on next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, it's very clear, crystal clear. It's pointed. Lord, it's direct. it meddles with us right where we live. Lord, tonight I pray you'd help us to be submissive to the Bible. To understand, Lord, that there are certain classes of people that if we associate with them, our lives will be damaged, our testimonies will be tarnished. Lord, perhaps even our walk, our spiritual walk, will be harmed very deeply by that association. Keep us, Lord, loving you so much that we desire fellowship with the people of God, those who walk in the light. So we are in the light. Bless, I pray, thy word to our hearts tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.